We weren't there. We couldn't be. Three ways was the review. That was the plan. Three critics in three ways, anchored by a fourth. We are proud men anyway, even though we were too suspect to be on this review.
Welcome to another edition of Highly Suspect Reviews here on oneofus.net. I am going to be hosting this particular session. I'm Martin Thomas. And next to me are my usual co-host,
JC DeLeon,
Elliot.
And join us for, I guess, not just a guest spot, but to be a new member, a new usual suspect would be the fabulous Mr. William Goss.
Hello.
We have to initiate him. Where are my rubber gloves?
Oh my.
Yeah, you're not going to like this part.
But, or you might like it a lot.
We all did it.
Then again, you might like it better than what we're about to do. Which is talk about the new Kevin Costner movie, 3 Days to Kill. So apparently, you see Liam Neeson was like, hey, here's an older guy who's turned his career around, becoming an action star. Why not Costner? He's always been around. He's done action-ish movies. Does the Bodyguard count as an action movie? I never really saw that one. Okay. Anyway, Waterworld, right? Prince of Thieves. Okay.
Postman.
No Way Out.
Dances with Wolves.
Waterworld.
Mr. Brooks.
See, but there you go. After he just made a big splash in the new Jack Ryan movie. Well, okay, he didn't make a big splash, but he was like maybe the only thing good about that movie. To me, anyway. But
he's
here.
Got Draft Day coming up, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
What is that one?
He's a football agent in April. So this is part of the big Costner comeback, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, did he lose some money in the stock market or something? Why is he working so much all of a sudden?
You know what? Liam Neeson can't be everywhere.
It kind of seems to be that thing that a lot of the older actors are doing, where like he's been away for a few years, now he's back, and there's so many jokes about he's either old or dying in some way.
Right.
Or just, yeah.
And a lot of mentor roles. You got Man of Steel. You got Jack Ryan, as you said.
Oh, you mean evil Pa Kent?
We need somebody sage and all American, and he pretty much fits the bill.
It's true. I mean, it's like, you know, you get these places in your career where you can do that. You can be, you know, the romantic comedy guy for a while, and then come back and be the indie drama guy for a while, and then be the action guy for a while, and then be the elder statesman, or do this, and this is the latest.
then be paycheck guy.
Yeah, or paycheck guy. Now, with 3 Days to Kill and this movie, which is directed by Mick G. Talk about comebacks.
Of Nikita fame.
It's based on a story written by Luc Besson.
Based on every story written by Luc Besson.
Yeah. And I think that's key. But, he plays pretty much a CIA, secret agent sort of hitman who they need to catch the wolf, because when you have a secret terrorist, it's pretty much always the wolf.
Played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
on the mission, it goes pretty much south. I mean, it's a pretty big opening. I thought that was pretty good. But he finds himself, when things go south, in the hospital, diagnosed with pretty much terminal brain and lung cancer. And so, hey, if he's going to die, he's going to try to go back and reunite with his wife, his estranged wife, and 16-year-old daughter, played by, respectively, Conn Nielsen and Haley Steinfeld. And he can spend his last three to five months living with them. But, I keep wanting to call her Denise Richards. No, Amber Heard.
Well, you know,
she's Denise Richards 2.0.
The regeneration, yeah.
Yeah. Who's working as an operative of some sort, comes to him to say, listen, I still want to catch and kill the wolf. You're the guy to do it. I'm not really sure why he's that guy. But, take that back. He's the guy, because he's going to die, and a man who's going to die has nothing to lose.
Yeah. Nothing to lose.
And he's the only one who's seen the wolf.
He's the only one who's seen the wolf. You're right.
And he's hungry.
And other than his perpetual way of, passing out every 5 minutes, he's probably the right guy for the job. Yeah.
True.
And I mean, it's a good thing he's the only one who knows what the wolf looks like, being that he works for an intelligence agency. But whatever.
Yeah.
And in exchange for doing this, she has an experimental drug that may or may not cure him or give him more time. Who knows?
Yeah, so, it's this new solution called Placebex.
And from there, that kicks us off with the movie. Now, what I will say is that looking at the trailer, which didn't show us much, I'm thinking, okay, a cheap action movie, Kevin Costner, Amber Heard, let's go. But what I didn't realize was that Luc Besson had an involvement in it. And it flows like, well, like you say, all Luc Besson movies, where it's not just an action movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of an indie drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a comedy. And Amber Heard comes in to throw in camp. Yeah. And honestly, this movie came in somewhere where sometimes there's a movie that's, it's bad, but there's some of it that's better than you expect. And sometimes it's a movie that feels like, wow, this was almost good, except for these things. And for me, this came somewhere right in between those two.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. A part of me always gets really excited when I see that Luc Besson is involved with any project. Nothing he does is ever going to be as great as Leon the Professional or like The Fifth Element, but it's all going to fall kind of like you said, somewhere in between not very good or really awesome. But either way, I'm going to have fun with some aspect of it. And I did have fun with a lot of aspects of this.
Yeah, there's a lot going on and I had a lot of fun with it. But one thing I want to talk about is Amber Heard, her character changes completely. About 10 minutes into the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, she's hired by the CIA to wear wigs, just stand in like shadowy.
And never an explanation why.
Yeah. I feel like she watched.
I was just going to say, when she first comes on the scene, she's like some mousy analyst.
Yeah.
And then later, she's a femme fatale through the rest of it.
Yeah, I feel like she watched The Spirit and said, Samuel Jackson, I'm going to do that. That's what I want to do.
Well, it's one of these things where, like to me, this movie, rather than feeling like, wow, it's a great blend of all these things, it's less of a melt than a stew, where it's like, well, it's all these separate pieces.
Yeah, separate chunks.
Yeah, these chunks that never really gel. And I can enjoy those pieces in and of themselves, but they were right next to these other things, and it was incongruent. Especially her, because she would come in very campy, and it was almost like, wait, sweetheart, I think you're in a different movie. Yeah. They're shooting your movie on the other line.
Tarantino's not making that movie yet. Just give it 10 years.
Yeah, part of that seemed to be from a combination of sloppy writing, really sloppy editing. At 113 minutes, there's way too much here.
Yeah. You know, you just said sloppy editing. There's something there. There was some really bad voice dubbing in this, like three different times.
With Amber Heard.
Yeah, where like their mouth wouldn't be moving, and it wasn't a narration. They were trying to slip that in.
Well, I totally got the feeling that this was made not for a U.S. audience, like maybe for a French audience, or definitely for an R rating. Because there's places where I saw where they overdubbed where, okay, somebody was going to say shit or fuck here. And the nudity was very clumsily covered up with digital smoke.
The best mist of all time.
Yeah.
In that one scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it was the same thing with Taken. And of course, Taken being, I feel like the Besson scale pretty much ranges from Taken, which is surprisingly good, standard issue, to Taken 2, which fails a very low bar. And I think this is close to the other end of the spectrum, because you've seen movies like True Lies 20 years ago pull this mix off better. And here, when it shifts gears, it shifts hard to where it's like, no, literally, we're going to spend 10 minutes watching him teach his daughter how to ride the bike after he did the Bodyguard homage with her character on the nightclub.
The thing is, you get so invested in those different chunks that when they do shift gears, I'm like, no, I wanted that other sweet story.
I wasn't even that invested. I feel like I was laughing a lot at all the parts that weren't supposed to be funny. And then all the parts that are supposed to be funny are very sitcom-y, like, I kidnapped you, but my daughter needs help with this recipe, so you're Italian, give her a spaghetti sauce.
It's like, act like Joe Pesci. That's all I need you to do.
It was bits like that. Like, yeah, he kidnaps the guys and it's kind of funny. And I was like, okay, these two pieces could be in a movie.
Yes.
There could be a movie that goes with that. But this movie goes in, it becomes a different movie at times.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they didn't just cast Kiefer Sutherland and make the 24 movie. Because if it were that ridiculous, I'd be like, okay, he's still trying to get into
the kid. Well, you know, they can't afford to get in a fight with PETA because eventually the daughter would have to be chased by a puma.
Yeah.
Is what would happen. I don't know, like, there's a lot of good here, but it's obscured by editing.
Yeah.
Just, there were, like, some of the story of him reuniting with his daughter was legitimately sort of touching at points.
Sure.
And the,
It takes forever.
You know, when she nearly got gangbanged in that nightclub, it was just really sweet. That's part of what you're talking about for a movie that, like, toes the R-rated line, where it's like, oh, she's not just in trouble, or she's not just being felt up. It's just something like, wait, what? What fucking movie is this?
Right. Well, also, I think it's a misstep in that, yes, his daughter's angry because he hasn't been around. But they make her, and you go like, yeah, she's an angry teenage girl, but they make her an asshole for so much of it.
But that, you know that she's mad at him because she always calls Dad by his first name.
Right.
Yes.
Until she likes him again, and then he's Dad right. instead of Ethan.
Yeah, no. Well, what was the deal with the family living in his house? Like,
Jesus Christ.
Why was it, do you have any theories of why that was in the movie? Because I couldn't figure it out.
Because that's kind of a Luc Besson thing.
Okay.
Yeah, where I feel like there's this like cross-cultural humor that doesn't always land. There was a lot of that in The Family last year, which really just
got on my head. Yes, I thought about The Family so much when I
where
watched
it. It's
this.
Like, you know, he doesn't do comedy for a reason, and yet it's just suddenly like, I have a bunch of, immigrant squatters living in my home, and one of them's going to give birth to a child and name it after our lead, and it's supposed to be this super sweet moment, and instead it kind of stops the movie dead. It's just like, did we need this? Did we have to have this?
Once again, that's part of a different movie.
Yeah.
I have to wonder how much of it is literally a matter of translation, where, Besson writes a script, and he puts in all these tropes that he likes in action movies, and then by the time you put it from French back into English or vice versa, that maybe everyone just agrees on the most basic version of things, and then you just kind of slam them all together. Mm. I feel like after seeing The Family on this, that it's, I have to wonder how much of that factors in. But then you watch movies that he's directed himself, and he didn't direct this, McGee did, which we can get to. But, you know, The Professional and, you know, like The Fifth Element's kind of freewheeling and silly, but I feel like it's all in the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this movie, like you said, is like three different movies mashed up together.
Yeah, it felt like an indie drama. It felt like a middle-aged drama where he's coming back. And then it felt like if Archer never retired and just, like, kept working. Because, like, there are parts just like an Archer where he gets done with a comedy bit and he's like, shut up, I'm doing comedy right now.
Right.
It's like they're hookers when they're dead, Cyril.
Yeah. I mean, there's this, like, hilarious contrivance at the end when we find out that someone happens to know someone else that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it's the kind of movie that's supposed to be a satire, that could have been brilliant. But there aren't really many other indications that it is.
Well, it is one of those things where you kind of know, you're like, oh, I know where this is gonna go, but when it happens, it's actually in a way where I was laughing, like they played it off where it's like, okay, this is actually funny, you saved that scene. I kept finding it like coming to those places where I'm like, you saved that, I didn't expect you to, but you kind of did. It's still not great, but all right, let's keep it going.
Yeah, because in that particular moment they didn't milk it as much as they could have. They milked it a little bit, but then like, all right, let's get right to the action. But I mean, again, that scene kind of goes to the sloppy editing, because the daughter in that scene goes off to another part, and like, I guess the point is that she doesn't see her dad.
Or hear any of her. Save her room.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It kept projecting that Genesis album cover.
Yeah. There's just so many moments, like, especially moments where him and the daughter are fighting, and then just smash cut to they're getting along.
Yeah.
And it's,
or there's this part where he gets ambushed in the middle of this deserted supermarket, and there's not this setup where he's like, I'm gonna go grab some stuff for dinner. It's just suddenly just he gets shot, and I'm like, wait, is this a dream sequence?
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's not. This is happening.
Well, and the best part is too, they really telegraph that entire scene, because when he walks in, you see that ham slicer, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna come in play. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, I would say that if you're looking for something, you know, you're out with friends, and they're like, oh man, I want to see a movie. I want to see something different. This is your different movie.
True.
This is the movie that you're not going to – you will never see this coming. This is the Spanish Inquisition of movies.
I feel like better or for better or worse, it's not the movie you think it's going to be.
No.
And if it is, give it 5 minutes.
Like, well, wait, what were you going to say about McGee?
Well, I feel like he started out making, even if they were very cheesy movies like the Charlie's Angels films, competent films.
Yeah.
And then I felt like that kind of fell by the wayside with, I feel in particular, This Means War, his last film.
Oh, yeah.
And this feels like a step up, at least in terms of the action scenes, but overall it still has this kind of chintzy, low-rent feel where you just have to think, like, I don't know that he is necessarily as cut out for this business as we might have hoped. And I don't know that anyone might have hoped, but even if I look at Terminator, I look at those action scenes and I see him, it's like he's trying to rip off Children of Men, and it's like, well, at least you're trying something.
Right.
And here it's like, we're getting the job done. There's some cars blowing up. There's some people getting shot. It's fine.
Is that feeling with his work? Like, look, if you're not going to take this seriously, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, no. And like, I think he was the showrunner of Nikita, and that show starts off very serious, and then it just goes just like sci-fi. And you're like, I don't know what you're doing here. But it's the same thing with this movie where it starts off the first 10 minutes. I thought it was going to be Taken for the first 10 minutes.
Sure.
Because it's starting off very serious.
With the world's worst spies.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yes, we're in Yugoslavia. Let's have as our spy, this is the maid, somebody who's very distinctive in this population that you're never going to notice again.
A maid wearing stilettos.
Yeah.
That's like a big tip-off.
Come on.
Well, I mean, they are in France.
I thought they were in
Yugoslavia. Oh,
they were in Yugoslavia. Part,
okay, never mind.
Belgrade.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
And then we go to Paris, and there are immigrants in his apartment, and there's just a whole bunch of nonsense. And every once in a while, somebody mentions a bike, because that's funny, instinctively, because you know, because you hear the bell ringing every time they cut to it. Nobody's hearing the bike. Yeah. It's just across the street, you hear ding, ding, and it's like, oh, it's funny, because he keeps trying to get his daughter to ride the bike.
It's like, is this Johnny Five's child? Is that what happened here?
Well, the bike had a walk-on part. I mean, it got to get a line. That was in its contract.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, time for ratings and final thoughts. JC?
So one of the things I like about this movie is that it allows me to say a sentence I never thought I would say, and that if you're looking for a cool Luc Besson movie, you should actually skip this one and check out From Paris with Love, which is a movie that I like. It's kind of the polar opposite in this, and that, I think the runtime on From Paris with Love is, it's not quite 90 minutes, but it's a lot shorter than an hour and 53 minutes. So that's like a really tight, action-packed film.
It knows its business.
Yeah. This one has a lot of elements that are similar to that, which is what got me excited. The family stuff is a little bit too much of it. I'm going to say 5 out of 10 kids that don't know how to ride bikes, which there is nothing wrong with that because I don't know how to ride a bike either.
Oh, did your dad leave when you were young?
No, I had a dad.
He never knew how to ride a bike.
He just never taught me because I never wanted to learn.
I would say this is a decent movie in that, again, if you're looking for something different, this is my definition of different now. Like, so if anybody's ever, when this comes out on DVD, on Blu-ray, whenever anybody says, oh, I don't know what I want to watch, something different, we're like, nope, well, we're going to watch 3 Days to Kill. That's what we're going to watch. It has really decent action, and that it's action that you'll watch action movies and you'll be like, why doesn't the guy just get up here and then punch him that way? And they do it in this movie. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really good. It's really uneven, and there's a bunch of different things in it that don't really match. So, but again, it does remind me of Archer, which is always a positive for me. So I give it 6 Archer Rampages out of 10.
All right. And William.
I think it wasn't as hot on it as you guys, but I mean, it does kind of tick off those minimum boxes of just like, well, there's action and there's laughs and there's end credits. Kids are really into those things.
I didn't die watching it.
Right? No, I live. So if you have 2 hours to kill, I would say that if you've tried 4 out of 10 local red boxes, you might as well just settle for it.
I would say about this movie, I'm probably more in line with Elliot. It's the kind of movie that you rent with friends and this enough. Hey, is it a good movie? Sometimes.
It's a February movie.
Is it a bad movie? Sometimes. It all depends on exactly when you're watching it. Unfortunately, it is, as JC brought up, too long.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in here is a movie that could be actually very enjoyable, but it needs to lose about 20 minutes and have some of it reshot and rewritten, to be honest. But there's enough going on here to enjoy. At the times when it's good, it reminded me of, one of my favorite movies, Unleashed. In that it blended all those kind of elements, action and indie comedy drama. But on the low end, it was really reminding me of The Family, like William brought up. I kept thinking of that over and over. Ultimately, I come down to giving it 6 bottles of Robitussin. Which is something Costner had to chug a bunch in there. If you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking
dances
about.
Dances with coughs.
Yeah, yes.
Coughs with wolves.
The wolf. He does that too. He dances with
coughs. The wolf. Boom. Yeah. Working title.